Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
We're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you been waiting for?
Oh, here, let's go.
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Hey, it is the Kelly Mano Radio Podcast. We are all the way up to episode 51.
Yeah.
And let's hear some cheers for the Blues who played they played a great game last night and made us very, very proud.
Hi, this is David Backus, and you're listening to the Kelly Mano Show.
And she's really awesome.
And she's a little off her rocker, but fun all the time.
And please spend today getting some rest so you can play tomorrow.
Yeah. So the Backus thing is a little bit of a mystery as far as what happened.
Yeah.
But
it looks like he just maybe turned wrong. I'm thinking maybe he just kind of tweaked an ankle or a knee or something.
I think if it was an ankle or a knee, he would have been back out there. I think it was the noggin. And that's what I really do.
Did he fall?
Him and the other hairy one that's not Thornton.
Burns.
They had a collision where his helmet went into Backus's.
I missed that.
I just think that with all of the problems Backus has had before, that was like a, hey, look, I'm jarred.
Huh.
We're winning 4-0. Let's, you know, because I don't think they took him back for an MRI in between periods.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think if they would have, I don't think you would have seen him back on the bench.
Right, well,
because, you know, flying pucks happen.
Yes, and then after the game, when he jumped over the boards and skated to give Jake Allen, like, a big hug, you know, he was skating fine. It didn't look like he had a hurt ankle.
Huh.
So, hopefully Backus is back soon, but the Blues played amazing. Yeah, Fabry. Yeah, he got back on the ice for a couple shifts, though, right?
Yeah, but he was pretty limited. But look, the team looked good. It's the team that you've been waiting to see this whole series.
Yeah, they played really good, and obviously Allen is starting Game 5. You could tell that by the ass-kissing in Hitchcock's press conference after the game.
You know, we were just talking about this. Jason and I just recorded a Blues podcast.
Oh, yeah, tell people where they can hear that. Because we gloss over Blues stuff here.
It's on iTunes. It should hopefully be up. Knowing Jason sometime before Game 5. It's just on iTunes if you search Blues Hockey Podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about the Allen and Elliott thing, and I don't think it's a knock against Elliott by any means.
No, I think it's a knock on the defense.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think if you look at the way the team has played all year, both of the goalies, Allen and Elliott, are really good, really good, really good, and then there's just a cliff. It's not a downward slope.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to shut you out, I'm going to shut you out, I'm going to shut you out, I'm going to let in six.
Yeah, but...
And I think that Elliott, like, maybe just needs a couple games to take a break, and look... Allen has San Jose completely confused. And if we need to ride Allen to get through this round and put Elliott back in for the final, hey, man, it's a team sport. Go win a cup.
I think that it was clear that the goalie switch was made to shake up the defense because they got way too comfortable with Elliott being behind them.
Yep.
And he wanted the defense on their toes, and it worked, and they played great. And
well, I mean, it was the only thing left for Hitchcock to do.
Yeah.
He had tried doing all these different line changes, and nothing was working. There's only one thing left to do.
Here's the thing. I've never played hockey a day in my life, but when I saw the lineup yesterday, I thought I was a grown-up, but then I threw my remote and it scuffed the wall.
Because Elliott wasn't in?
Just because of the entire lineup, because of, you know, no Ott, no Reeves, no Upshaw, no, you know.
Well, Upshaw, I guess, is now possible for Monday?
I heard he was cleared. I thought Upshaw was cleared. So,
was
you know, whenever I see things like Fabry take that humongous hit, and I'm like, well, now who's going to go after their guy? We got nobody!
You know what?
Where? Like, that's part of the game.
Smile and put pucks in the net.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, look at that fourth
line
yesterday.
Luckily, they did. Yeah.
That fourth line yesterday was on fire.
And Brodziak was awesome.
Yep.
I think he stepped up a little bit in that. And
Pajarvi did, too.
Yeah.
Especially that second goal that Brodziak scored. That's Pajarvi keeping the puck in.
Yeah. My thing is that, you know, if you want to shake up the lineup, how about you sit some of the superstars that are doing nothing?
Yeah.
You know?
There's still a few players that they just seem... off.
They don't have that. There's players that can flip that switch and go into they have that next level they can go to. Like, you know, I don't think anybody paid much attention to like a Scottie Upshaw during the season.
Absolutely not.
Then the playoffs start and he's able to flip this switch and everybody's like, whoa, where'd this kid come from?
Well, to that remark, did you hear Hitchcock's comments about Tarasenko after the game?
No, what did he say?
Someone asked him if he's concerned about the fact that we're now four games into a series and your star player has no points.
Right.
And he said, you know, every great player has to find a way to get through this adversity. They all do it.
Sure.
And he goes, this is Tarasenko's time where he's going to have to figure out how do you work through this.
It's
goes,
a sucky time to slump, but you got to figure it out.
Yeah, like we've played two opponents that were finesse opponents. It plays to Tarasenko's advantage. Now you're in the middle of a seven-game series with a physical team who's going to stand up and hit you when you try to skate by them.
Yes.
And he's got to figure it out.
And not to mention, like, he had a baby 5 minutes ago.
Sure.
And then he had to leave. And not just having the newborn baby is stressful, but those few days up until labor and delivery are really hard for, you know, a husband and wife. So he's going through a lot right now. But we love him. We want to see him do great.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you know, I'm glad that they won Game 4 the way they did because you started to see people have a little bit of PTSD when it came to being a Blues fan. And everyone was starting to, you know, have their nervous twitches again.
I think they were trying to give the bandwagon fans just like a little taste of like what we go through every year.
But, you know, you're now at a three-game series where the Blues have two at home, which doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Right,
we're not
obviously
that great. I'm all for everybody showing up tomorrow wearing Sharks jerseys and making the team sleep in a hotel.
And we can pretend, we can play the Jaws theme.
Yep, pretend that we're on the road. Because it seems to make, tell the Blues to wear their whites.
Yes.
And just let them think we're on the road again.
That's a great idea. I mean, athletes are complete head cases anyway.
Yep.
That's a great idea. Now, you spent your weekend at Point Fest.
I did.
You had to watch it backstage.
I did. It was one of my demands. I was like, we better have a TV show in the game.
Yes, because your band, Usual Suspects.
Highly Suspect played it.
Why do I always call them Usual Suspects? Because
there's a movie about
that.
Damn
it.
Really good. They played at 3, and they killed it.
I saw the crowd was huge, because I know the photographer that was shooting the video, Kenny, and I, like, it looked amazing.
Yeah, they were probably one of the highlights of the early part of the day, because they've become a big band in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then I had Story of the Year, which is a local St. Louis band.
Yeah, that everybody knows, yep.
And then we had Chevelle, who was direct support for Deftones. And I got to play a little joke on Chevelle because they're Chicago boys and Blackhawks fans. So I was wearing all my blue stuff when
they
showed up. And Louis and Charles Glenn showed up and did the national anthem.
Oh, they did? Oh, that's cool.
They opened up the main stage singing the national anthem and got a Let's Go Blues chant going on, which was fun. And some of the bands were really cool and were taking pictures with Louis. And I was like, oh, we should totally go into the Chevelle dressing room. And they started to head that way. And I was like, no, don't do it, don't do it.
They're going
to
kick a mascot's ass. Did you see the thing that I posted online of the San Jose Sharks from like the 90s when their shark got stuck up in the rafters?
Yeah.
It is the funniest video I think that I've seen in a long time.
They had an inflatable, like we used to have that blimp.
Yes.
Oh, I was at the game where
the blimp would get stuck, or
I was at a game where the blimp like lost power or something and crashed down.
Yeah.
And it crashed like right into a section and people looted it.
Like, and then
for
tore
all
apart
their coupons. People looted it like they were coupons for free TVs. I'm like, dude, it is 50 cents off of a Hardee's hamburger. Calm down.
Yes. But if you go on YouTube, you can find a video of the San Jose Sharks back in the 90s where they had Sharky, their mascot, rappel down from the ceiling and he gets stuck halfway through and he can't go up and he can't go down.
So amazing.
At one point, they're trying to like forge forward with the show to where they played the national anthem with him hanging from the rafters and all the players are, you know, got their hands on their hearts and they're watching. And then it became like this huge delay in the game. And it was one of the funniest things that I've ever seen.
Have you seen, we should do a whole show about weird promotional things that sports teams have done that have not caught.
Yes.
I could fill up an entire show just on, like, I think it was like 4 years ago, where the Blues tried to do two things in the same season, and it happened once, and they were never heard of again.
Oh, I know of something with the Cardinals, too, but I don't know if I can say it or not, because...
Well, the Blues one was the year that they were opening Peabody Opera House.
Yeah.
They for the... I think it was the home opener, like, halfway through the third period, they started playing the Phantom of the Opera music.
Why?
And then shined a spotlight up on the rafters, and there was a dude dressed like the Phantom of the Opera.
No, they did not.
And it was the Phantom of the Opera House, and like... They're doing this whole thing over the PA system, and everybody in the game is just looking up with this confused look like,
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, and it was never talked about or seen of again.
That's creepy.
And then, like, five games later, they started doing this interrupting cow. Who, you know how they do all the little skits on the Jumbotron?
Yeah.
Well, they would cut it off mid-promo with this cow that would just show up and go,
I think I remember that.
And it happened three times in the game, and everyone was like, what is that?
Why is there a cow?
And then it was gone. Just as quick as it was there, it was gone.
We could do a whole show on not only bad sports PR moves, but mascots and some of the things that they've had to go through. I would love to get mascots on the show and find out, you know, how many times have you passed out in the Fredbird uniform when it's, you know, 95 degrees outside. And
I know that, I know in the case of Fredbird, I think there's like three or four
yes,
that do a game.
There are.
They do like two or three innings each.
Yep. And with Louie, there's just one, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder if there's like a backup Louie if he gets stuck in the rafters.
Awesome. That's what,
well, in Rampage, that guy would do like backflips and stuff. So there probably wasn't
there's
a lot
no
of him.
Way. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I would kill myself. Here, put on this giant furry suit and go do acrobatics.
He came to a couple weddings I did, and he was doing them on the hard floor at a wedding.
Nope.
It was crazy.
Nope.
And just an update, I want to thank everybody who reached out to me last week with the thing that happened with my mom and that guy John that was lying to her and saying that he was a sniper and that he was on a SWAT team and that he was deployed in Texas. And
good news, we won the war, guys.
We didn't even know we were at war with Texas, but apparently we were because
bring home the troops.
He was hanging from a helicopter fighting for us. So not only did I confirm with a couple people in my hometown, I happened to bump into somebody who knows him really well because he works at a local fire department as like a volunteer, you know,
right.
firefighter. So I bumped into some of his buddies at a Long Lake Fire Department. And I'm like, so do you know blah, blah, blah? And it was like instant laughter. They're like, why? They're like, and I'm like, well, you know, he was kind of dating my mom and he started lying to her and all this stuff. And they're like, oh my God, we don't believe anything that ever comes out of that guy's mouth.
Everybody has a dude like that in their lives.
And I said, well, what does he do for a living? They're like, he's a mechanic.
That's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with being a mechanic.
No, but I mean, like, it couldn't be any further away.
I know.
They're like, yeah, he's a mechanic and he is a volunteer firefighter once in a while. And he's got like a dog that helps with rescue.
Okay.
Yeah, not a sniper.
So you're a mechanic. End of story.
So, I mean, like, in the future, you know, if you're going to mess with a woman's emotions and drag her along and lie to her, make sure it's not a freaking widow who's already
right.
been through hell and this is her first time dating. And make sure she doesn't have a crazy-ass daughter with a radio show, because then you're doubly screwed.
Or just don't be a douchebag.
Exactly. Can you imagine when poor Rocky starts dating? I will run a bitch over in my truck.
For reals, though.
Show.
Come on!
Mondays suck a little bit less.
Because the Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by Tan Envy in St. Peter's, Missouri. I went today and got my Versa spray tan, so I've got my summer glow ready to go. If you have never been to Tan Envy, you will absolutely love it. They offer four different levels of UV tanning, red light therapy beds, plus the number one rated Versa Spa spray tanning, which is what I get. Take some time out of your busy week and treat yourself to Tan Envy. They have a friendly staff, clean atmosphere, and wall-to-wall products for you to try. Tan Envy is located at 1104 Junction Station in St. Peter's. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. If you need to give them a call, their number is 636-447-3553. And again, that is Tan Envy in St. Peter's, Missouri. Hoss's eyes just lit up like a Christmas tree.
I did not expect to hear this.
Because I played something besides rap. Yeah, I was just...
I mean, I don't hate rap, but you're speaking my language right now.
Well, I was just feeling froggy. I was just looking at my playlist, and I'm like, what? I'm like, I've played all these so many times, and then I just saw... I love Poison. So
who doesn't? I mean, they're just the epitome of 80s cheese.
Yes. And so anything like 80s or 90s, I might just throw in, nice. You know, a couple little things. But literally, you looked like a kid in the candy store when that guitar riff hit.
I just was not expecting that at all.
Oh, this is probably one of my top 20 songs of all time.
Oh, it's
Talk Dirty to Me?
Really good.
Oh my God, it's amazing. So I diagnosed myself with a disease over the weekend.
Okay.
I did not know that I had this. Well, I guess I knew I had it, but I didn't know it was a thing. So I think I have a little bit of something called hypnophobia.
Okay.
And do you know what that is?
You're either afraid of being hypnotized or you're afraid of hippopotamuses.
Neither one. It is the fear of sleep or the dread of sleep. Do you
really?
Right.
I don't have that. I welcome it.
Yeah. You don't know how jealous I am of you. There's people out there that just go to sleep real easy. And then there's people like me who I don't have insomnia. I'm not going to go that far.
I've battled it a few times, but it's been short spurts.
I just... some of it is a mental game because sleep freaks me out in general.
Really?
Just the fact that we can go unconscious for that long of a period of time makes me crazy. And I'm a control freak. So, like, just trying to even, like, understand how the body works and how our bodies do that freaks me out. Dreams freak me out. Can you imagine the first person who ever dreamed? Like, in the caveman days.
Wow.
Do you think they were like, what the hell was that?
I don't know, maybe.
You know, trying to distinguish between, you know.
I know we talk about it every once in a while, but do you remember most of your dreams?
No, I don't.
See, I usually very vividly remember every dream I have.
See, but I'm also very much a, like, melatonin, Tylenol PM. If I could drug myself to sleep every single night with Ambien, I would. But
wow.
I don't even talk to a doctor about it because I know if they start giving that stuff to me.
You'll get hooked.
Yes, yeah. Because... you know, I lay down my head on the pillow and I struggle. And it's not even just like, oh, my mind races. It's just, I don't know. I can't sleep very easily.
Hmm.
And I've also had some really weird experiences during sleep. And so I listened to a podcast over the weekend. The podcast is This American Life. And they do all kinds of different, you know, topics. And there's this comedian. His name is Mike Birbiglia?
Yeah, I know him.
You do? Okay, I'm guessing at that name.
No, you got it.
He did a whole movie on this. It was like a documentary because his sleep pattern is so crazy.
I could imagine.
And he told this story that I just thought was amazing. And so I want to just take a minute, stick with me. It's like 7 or 8 minutes long.
All right.
But it's one of the best stories I've ever heard. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some of our own experiences. And then we hit up the Facebook group and the people on there had a lot of great things to say.
All right.
A lot of it just involved men peeing into stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why when you guys sleep, you have to get up and pee into random objects. But
I luckily have not experienced that yet.
All right. Here is Mike Birbiglia.
And so I never went to a doctor, but I did purchase a book by a doctor named Dr. Dement, and it was which is not the most calming name for a sleep doctor, but it's called The Promise of Sleep. And I learned, and these are helpful tips, I learned turn off cable news or the news before bed, turn off your cell phone, turn off the internet, your computer, you know, don't have big meals, that kind of thing. And I came across in the sleep disorders a disorder that resembled symptoms of mine, and it was called REM behavior disorder. And people who have this have a dopamine deficiency, and dopamine is the chemical that's released from your brain into your body that paralyzes your body when you fall asleep so that you don't do what's in your brain. So I thought, maybe I have this, you know, and then I thought, you know, maybe I'll eat dinner. And so I never went to see a doctor until about 3 years ago. I was performing in a college in Walla Walla, Washington. I'm a comedian by trade, and I was staying at a hotel called La Quinta Inn, and some people correct me. They go, no, it's La Quinta. And I'm like, that's not fair. You can't force me to speak Spanish. I'm at La Quinta Inn in Wyoming, Washington, and I fell asleep watching the news, you know, and it was sort of a story about war and something very chaotic, and I fell asleep, and I had a dream that there was a guided missile headed towards my room. And there's all these military personnel in the room with me. And I jump out of bed, and I'm like, what's the plan? And they say, it's come to our attention. The missile coordinates are set specifically on you. And I thought, that's very bad. Because, you know, I don't have a plan for that one. So I decided to jump out the window. In my dream. And as it turns out, in my life. And there are two important details. One, I was on the second floor of La Quinta Inn, and two, the window was closed. So I jumped through a window like the Hulk. And I say that because that's how I described it at the emergency room in Walla Walla, Washington. I was like, you know the Hulk, you know, he just kind of jumps through stuff. So I jumped through the window and I scream, ah! And what was remarkable is that people of this disorder are capable of doing things they couldn't do in their everyday life. It's like blacking out drinking where you don't feel any pain or inhibition. I jumped through a second-story window and I landed on the front lawn of the hotel. I took a spill, I got back up, and I kept running. Running, and I'm slowly realizing I'm on the front lawn of La Quinta Inn in Wyoming, Washington, in my underwear, bleeding. And I'm like, oh no. And it was one of those rare moments in your life where in retrospect, you're like, what the hell? And at the time, you're like, I guess I'll walk to the front desk and explain what happened. Fortunately, the person working at the front desk was mildly retarded. And I say fortunately because he was completely unfazed by what had just happened. It's 3 a.m. The phones are ringing off the hook from people staying at the hotel who just saw the guy jump out the window screaming. I'm bleeding in my underwear.
So great.
And I say, hello. Because as it turns out, you have to start somewhere.
Oh my, so I loved that story. And it, you know, he goes on to tell in the story that he ended up needing 30 stitches.
Oh.
La Quinta charged him $300 for the window.
Yeah.
And then his doctor has put him on a very heavy medication to sleep. And he also sleeps in a sleeping bag that is zipped up to his neck, and he is required to sleep in mittens.
Wow.
So that he can't. I mean, because you do that at the wrong place, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, I know that things like this happen all the time, this dopamine deficiency, because I've woken up doing things that were in my dream before. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the middle of my bedroom and I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Wow.
And so you had a story. You said your dad is he's a bad sleeper.
Well,
but
my dad is on a lot of medications, uh-huh. And there's some that he has to take during the morning, some he has to take at night. And he was on one for a while that was a nighttime one that would My dad's the type of guy that gets up like 2-3 times a night to use the bathroom.
Right.
And when he would get up, it was like it wouldn't let him fully wake up.
Yeah.
So he was almost in a zombie mode. And my mom said that there were a few times where she would hear him stumbling around. And one of her favorite ones was, she said at like 3 o'clock in the morning, it's all quiet in her bedroom, and she just hears, "Pam, Pam, Pam, help." And she's like, and she said, she rolls over, she's like, "Where are you?" And he goes, would you turn on the lights? I'm stuck in the closet. And my mom and dad don't have like a giant closet. I mean, right. It's a walk-in, but it's like, it's one of those where like you open the door, there's clothes on each side.
Right.
And it's maybe like 10 feet deep.
Right.
So you walk in, you walk, turn around, you walk out. There's no turns or anything like that. And he was stuck in the closet.
God bless and then, your mom. Who has to get up in the middle of the night because her husband is stuck in the closet.
Well, there was one.
Can't get out.
Over the holidays where I was staying over at their house and I heard like shuffling in my room. So like I wake up and I roll over and I see half in my closet, half out of my closet is my dad.
Yeah.
Which if that's not disturbing enough, my dad sleeps naked. So I just see my dad's bare ass hanging out of my closet. And I go, "Dad, Dad, what are you doing?" Go back to sleep. "Dad, what are you doing?" I'm just going over here to the bathroom. And I was like, "You're in my closet." And he still didn't comprehend what was going on, so I had to turn on the lights. I was like, "Dad, wake up. Where are you?" So they've obviously taken him off that medication.
Right.
But yeah, man, like, I feel for people who have problems when it comes to sleep, because there's a lot of people like
that. Have you ever hallucinated when you slept?
I've never hallucinated, but I've had dreams that I've woken up in the middle of.
Yeah.
And I would swear that they're real.
I've woken up to total and complete hallucinations. And I remember the first time that it happened was when I was away at figure skating camp, and I was really stressed out to be away from, you know, my friends and family. And I slept on a bottom bunk, and there was a beanbag chair in front of me, like next to my bed. And I woke up and I could see my roommate from my top bunk, like, had fallen out of the bed and was on the beanbag chair, and she was injured and she was bleeding and she was face down. And so I start yelling at her. I'm like, Rachel, I'm like, "Wake up. What happened? Rachel, what's wrong?" And I'm looking right at her, because it wasn't very dark in our room. Like, there were street lights and we were in these dormitories. And I'm like, "Rachel, wake up. You're hurt. What's wrong?" And it was like at that moment, her head hung down from the bottom bunk, and she's like, "Kelly, what is the matter with you?" And I looked up and looked at her and looked back down to the beanbag, and she's gone.
Wow.
The whole scene was gone. Wow. And I can tell you 10 stories like that have freaked me out. And I have that thing called sleep paralysis where you wake up and you can't move.
I luckily have not had that.
It's terrifying. Like, I don't even like to talk about it because I'm scared it's going to like remind that back of my brain and come back up and get me. But my dad always, you know, he got up once and peed in our dryer. But I think
that's awesome.
I think there was beer involved.
Yeah, I think anytime there's alcohol or something like that involved, it's a wash.
Right. But then another time he got up because my family, nobody in my family sleeps like normal people.
Right.
Nobody sleeps in their beds. My mom and brother both sleep eat. So it was completely normal.
That's a real thing.
It was completely normal to hear a microwave go off at 3 in the morning. I know it's either my mom or my brother, and they both still do it.
Wow.
And my dad would get up and
are they aware that they do it?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's not like they're sleepwalking, but I don't think they're super conscious either.
Right.
But it's like, and it's not once in a while. It's like they eat at night all the time.
Wow.
And my dad and I would both get up and get drinks at night. And, you know, you can tell by just the cadence of footsteps who's up in your house and who's not.
Yep.
And I remember and this one did not involve alcohol. I remember hearing my dad get up and then hearing him walk in the kitchen and hearing the sink going. And I'm like, that's so weird. Because when my dad gets up, he usually just opens the fridge, takes a drink, shuts the fridge, and goes back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a few minutes later, he's back in bed and my mom gets up to probably microwave something. And she starts yelling. She's like, "David, get in here. What did you do?" He had filled up the sink with water and took our phone off the wall. We had one of those kitchen, like everyone did. Yeah, like a big kitchen phone, like hooked up to the wall, like a big square thing. And he dunked it in the sink and then set it out next to the sink to dry, like with all this water pouring out of it.
Wow, that's very random.
And he had no recollection of it. And the only person that was able to say, no, you really did that was me, because I was awake to hear it, even though I didn't see it.
Wow.
Because he didn't believe her. It had turned into like a big fight. He's like, I didn't do this. What are you talking about? I'm like, Dad, you totally did.
Wow, that's crazy.
So you have normal sleep.
I do. I mean, I think we all probably have a little bit of a sleep dysfunction in some way or another. But luckily, I'm the person that, like, when I'm out, I'm pretty much out.
I dread bedtime. I hate it. I dread it. I don't like it. Jimmy always wakes up and finds me in other places. Like, wow. I always start in the bed, and then he's like, why did you end up in Libby Lou's bed? I'm like, I don't know. I don't even remember it.
Wow.
You know, and Rocky's kind of the same way, too. A bunch of people on the Facebook group. If you have not joined the Kelly Mano Facebook group, it's a lot of fun in there. We talk about things in there that we can't talk about on regular Facebook where the whole world can see it. But Lisa Glass, she was talking about what that guy had, that REM disorder, the dopamine thing, mm-hmm. where she was having a dream that she was cleaning the shower and she was, squeezing the Clorox, and her husband wakes up and she's got like a death grip on his arm. And he's like, what are you doing? And she says, I'm cleaning the shower. And then, you know what? I need to tell the story about Rocky and why he's not allowed to sleep in our bed anymore.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. That's a great one.
I told you last week. So my physical therapist, Sarah, her brother Joel is a really bad sleepwalker. And they had a 30th birthday party where the whole family went to the winery, and then the whole family came back to all stay at the same house.
Okay.
Her and her husband wake up in the middle of the night, and he's in bed with them. He'd come in bed and slept like along the foot, because she's like, why can't I straighten my legs?
Was this another one of those alcohol was involved?
No, he was sober. So when he wakes up, she kicks him out. She's like, Joel, what are you doing in our bed? He's like, sorry, man. And then he started talking about going fishing. So that same.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So then her sister, Kelly, said on that same night, my brother then came downstairs, walked over to the refrigerator, opened the door, and peed in the cheese drawer. I yelled at him, what are you doing? I opened the fridge when he was done to look just to make sure I wasn't crazy. And then I calmly walked to my mom's room and said, Joel peed in the cheese drawer.
That's awesome. That should be on a shirt.
She said that she looked totally confused. I repeated myself and promptly told her that I will not be handling the situation. He is your kid. And by the way, he was completely sober.
I have one peeing story, but I was hammered.
Drunk. Yeah, that I woke up to.
But I executed perfect math in order to make it work. Like, I didn't want. Long story short is we had not bunks, but we had like a loft in my room.
Yeah.
And me being the idiot, I decided to take the top one because I'm smart and I'm tall. Ask.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was really, really hammered, and it was like 4 a.m. And I woke up and I was like, I need to pee, but I do not want to get off of this loft. So I hung my feet over the edge of the loft, and I'm looking at the trash can in our room, and I'm like, I play college basketball, I can make this work. And dude, I nailed it. Perfect arc.
Are you kidding me?
And here's the best part. I'm shooting my stream of pee over my roommate into the trash can, which is great.
You must have a strong stream.
Which is great until towards the end when the pressure starts to let up.
Oh.
And it's like that scene in James Bond where like the laser's getting closer.
And it trickles down.
And now my roommate has woken up and I just hear, dude, what are you doing? Dude, stop. Please stop now. And he said, I just kept going, shh, I got this. Shh.
Jimmy,
go back to sleep.
Jimmy had two knee surgeries in like a year and a half, and I was so damn tired of taking his pee jug to the bathroom that I tried to fashion a tube from the recliner out of our window into a bucket. I thought it was genius.
You know what's funny is those pee jugs, because the doctors are like, oh, well, you should get up a couple times during the night and whatever. I will sleep through the night, but when I get up in the morning, God forbid if there is someone between me and the bathroom, because I will run you over.
Because you have to go so bad.
The first time I had to stay overnight in a hotel, hospital, I woke up in the morning, filled the pee jug, and still had to go. And I'm like hitting the button for the nurse, like, come on.
Oh, all right. I've got a couple more stories to share and a couple more Facebook ones. We'll be right back.
Did it to me.
Kelly Mano Show.
Sassy, classy, and a little smartassy.
Okay, the classy part might be a stretch. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
The Kelly Mano Show is brought to you by Aero Insurance Specialties. When I think about explaining insurance to other people, it's not exactly my forte. I don't want to overtalk it or overword it. I want to make it really, really simple. Jimmy and I have had the same insurance for 12 years now. And we thought, you know, it was a big name company. So all along we thought, you know, Tom, our buddy, had our back down there. And that if there was a better rate or something else out there, that he would have known that for us. And it wasn't until I came across Angela Fusaro with Aero Insurance Specialties. And she said, send me an email. Just let me know what kind of cars you have, name, address, some other simple stuff. She pulled up our stuff. She saw all my husband's speeding tickets and and did not run the other way. Nice. And she's like, okay, so we got a couple speeders here and this and that. She came back with a quote, and we are now saving $672 a year just on our auto insurance.
That's great.
If you have 5 minutes in your day to sit down and send Angela an email, it is worth your time. You can give her a call at 314-450-8384, or you can go to aeronow.net. And again, Angela Fusaro is easy to find. You can find her on Facebook. The insurance she hooked us up with is Safeco.
Nice. That's a good company.
We're really happy with them. And so she also does auto, home, life, and business. And so we are in the process of moving all of our insurance over to her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's been doing, she represents like 7 different companies, and she's looking out for you.
And that's the great thing with someone like her, because everyone knows shopping for insurance, not really fun, it's kind of boring, but everyone's trying to one-up, you know, hey, add this on, add that on. She'll do it all for you. And she knows what you need, what you don't need, what is necessary, what's not. So like, let her do the legwork, and she can come back to you with the bottom lines.
Yep, and literally it's just an email. All you have to do is email Angela. Again, her website is www.aeronow.net with Aero Insurance Specialties.
Cause you can, you and you don't stop. Oh, cause you can, you and you don't stop. Oh, when you can, you and you don't stop.
Another one of the Beastie Boys died?
Wait, what?
Another one of the Beastie Boys died like a week and a half ago.
Who?
I don't remember. Gary, you want to Google it? Who is it?
It was the original, the fourth member.
Okay.
No, there was another one before that.
Well, there's MCA died a while ago.
Right, but I think there was another one.
Ad Rock and Mike D are the last two.
And hey, Gary, you want to try to Google it real quick?
Yes.
I could have sworn another one died.
Wow.
One of the best bands I've ever seen live.
Oh, man. I got to see them one time, and it was probably with me. No, I was in L.A.
Oh, okay.
They played K-Rock Winnie Roast unannounced.
Oh, my God.
And it was fantastic. They were the band before the headliner.
Yes.
And everybody left after the Beasties.
As soon as Rocky got old enough to start listening to, like, grown-up music, when he, like, outgrew, like, the Wheels on the Bus and, you know, stuff like that, the Beastie Boys was the first thing I taught him.
Somebody, and I don't know who it is, has stolen my Beasties anthology on CD.
Ooh.
And I'm just going to have to buy it again.
Yeah.
Because it's so good.
Yeah. All right, couple more sleep stories that we did not get to. And if you have sleep stories, I would love to hear them. I wish that Lisa Pini was here, because she is our dream expert, and she could probably help us with all of this.
Maybe we solicit more and have her back on when we have a bunch.
So my friend Arinda said that on Easter, her 4-year-old daughter unlocked the front door and ran out of the house screaming. She was screaming, Mommy, over and over. By the time I got to the front door, she was already 2 houses down and in the middle of the street.
Wow.
I chased her down, yelling her name. When she finally stopped and looked at me, she woke her up when she got to her. She started crying. She didn't understand why she was outside. And, of course, her husband slept through the whole thing.
Of course.
Because that's what dads do.
Pretty much.
And Rocky had night terrors whenever he was little.
Really?
He had night terrors to the point where we lost power and had to go stay in a hotel. And it was on, like, the 3rd or 4th floor. And I tied a rope from his ankle to the bed.
Wow.
Because I was so petrified of him getting up. Rocky definitely got his mother's weird sleep patterns.
See, now, it's funny you mentioned hotels. I have had more than one occurrence of me waking up and not being 100% sure where I'm at. But I think that's more to do with me traveling a lot for work than anything else.
Sure.
Because there's nights where I'll be asleep and I'll wake up and I'll come out of that fog and I'll look around and I'm just like,
where am I?
Where am I?
Yeah. I don't travel very much.
Yeah, I've never had the whole night terrors thing, knock on wood. My dad has.
Yeah.
I've heard my dad when I was a kid, like I would hear my dad from upstairs like let out a gigantic like blood curdling scream in the middle of the night.
Rocky would throw things at us. He would throw like a chair, a trash can. When it first happened, I got up and the first thing I Googled was child possessed by the devil, because I mean, it was like, he doesn't look at you. He looks right through you, and he doesn't know who we are. And he has not had one of these in a long time. He outgrew them when he was 4 or 5 years old. But Rocky, you know, he's such a mama's boy. He has no problem once in a while coming and like sleeping in my bed. Like we'll watch a movie and fall asleep or something. Right. He's big enough that he sleeps in his own bed on a regular basis. But it was about 2 years ago that Rocky and I fell asleep in the same bed, and all of a sudden, and Rocky's a big, strong boy.
Right.
He is built like a brick shit house. Okay. So he's a beefy kid. And I woke up to Rocky with both of his hands in my hair like a fist, and he's yanking my hair back as hard as he can. And I wake up and he's jerking my head back, and I'm like, Rocky, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he says, like, plain as day, he's like, I'm trying to get my drumsticks out of your hair.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, wake up, dumbass. You know,
nice.
And so I literally turn and I shove him away, because I'm like, okay, get away from me, because he's too big to move.
Sure.
And so I go back to sleep that very same night, and I sleep commando. We've talked about that before.
Yep.
But I wear like girl boxer shorts.
I got it. Yeah.
So girl boxer shorts, but there's nothing underneath. And Rocky was kind of laying behind me, like in a spooning position, sort of.
Okay.
And so he's kind of up against my back. And again, I'm a light sleeper, so I can wake up and I know he's there. And all of a sudden he hikes up his leg like he's going to do a karate kick, and he kicks it straight down, and his foot goes straight down my sleep shorts, and his toenails give me like Freddy Krueger down my butt cheek. Like broke the skin.
Oh, wow.
That's how hard he kicked me. And he just like dug his toenails into my butt cheek and went. And I woke up screaming.
I would too.
Like, Jimmy, get him out of this bed.
Oh, man. And Jimmy's asleep on the couch.
Of course. Or somewhere else completely oblivious. Right. So if you have any other like cool sleep stories, or if you know a sleep doctor, I would love to have a sleep doctor on the show.
So when I was in college,
yeah,
I had a buddy of mine named Bryce. He's still a very good friend of mine. He's like he's basically my parents' other kid.
Oh, yeah.
He spent that much time.
Everybody has met him at
many concerts when I was an intern.
Yep.
So Bryce would spend the night at my house quite a bit. And I was like, dude, whatever. Like, just crash in bed. So Bryce and I would share my queen bed.
Right.
Bryce, one night, like 3 times during the night, rolled over and totally...
snuggled.
Did the whole arm wrap around snuggling thing with me. And so like I would elbow him each time. The 4th time, when he not only went for me with the arm, but hooked me with the leg.
Oh, God. And then the wiener's touching you.
And I was like, yep, we're done.
That's the boy move.
I pushed him to his side, and we took every pillow on my bed and made what we called the line of purity pillows.
That's exactly.
You stay on your side, and I'm going to stay on my side.
Every time me and the girls would have a sleepover, they knew I had to sleep in the middle. And I was the same way. They would wake up, and I'd have arms and legs like flopped over them. But I did not have a wiener to press up against them like the rest of you perverted boys.
I was just like, dude, I swear to God, if I start feeling you kissing the back of my neck, we're going to have problems.
So I was talking last week about Snapchat, and not just Snapchat, but some of these websites that put these filters on your face to make you look like Barack Obama or Jimmy Kimmel. Or I did like a video not too long ago. So because of this, they have developed an app that has not been, it's not legal, and I don't know if it ever will be, but all of this software, they're saying, is a facial recognition. They're developing a software that can recognize your face. And that is why everybody's so crazy about these filters, like scanning your face. And they now have the ability to, they've actually created the app that you can take a photo of somebody in public and upload it to this app, and it can find who they are by facial recognition.
Oh, wow. That doesn't surprise me.
But how disturbing is that?
Welcome to technology, man.
I mean, they said it's not coming out. They said that they have absolutely the technology.
Oh, I'm
and
sure they do.
And it's easy to do. I think it's coming down to like a moral or an ethical thing.
It's 100% an ethical thing.
And so every time you're making those cute kitty cat faces on Snapchat,
yep,
and they're scanning your face.
Oh yeah,
they're creating.
You're in a database.
Yeah, absolutely. And I must have like the most familiar face in the world. I don't know if it's because I'm just brown hair, brown eyes, like simple looking, but people tell me all the time, oh my God, you look just like so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you remind me of my friend. You look like this person. And so a really cool story over the weekend is that Adam Sandler has a new movie coming out, which normally I would pay zero attention to.
Correct.
Who does? So there's this guy growing up and his name is Max Kessler. And all of his life growing up, people would tell him that he looked like Adam Sandler. And, you know, he didn't think a whole lot of it. You know, he just kind of, you know, said, yeah, you know, he got it and he thought he looked like him. And then sure enough, I'm going to go ahead and hit this right here. So I'll show you the two boys. All right. So the cool story about this is that all his life, Max Kessler was told that he looked like Adam Sandler. And Adam Sandler's somebody sent him like the trailer of a new movie that he had coming out. And guess what the name of Adam's character is?
What?
Max Kessler.
Shut up.
Yes. And the guy thought he was joking. He's like, no, he thought his buddy like had dubbed in the name or something. And so he posted this picture on Reddit saying, hey, like I'm the real Max Kessler. And look how much I look like you. And Adam couldn't believe it. Invited him to the premiere and they got to meet each other. And it's just such a cool story because they say everybody has a twin somewhere.
I'll have to find the picture, and if I
don't tell me there's a 7 foot Hoss twin out there somewhere.
Well, when I was much thinner, there's a picture of me and Chris Pronger standing next to each other, and he looks like my twin brother.
You know what? I remember that when we worked at the Point. I remember being out somewhere and somebody like thinking you were Chris Pronger or something.
It's really creepy
because you guys, you know, were same size, yep, same hairstyle. You know, with sunglasses on, something like that, that'd be pretty easy to...
Yeah, I'll find the picture. It's really creepy.
And Gary, we'll make sure we get this story up on at kellymano.com.
So my question is,
yep,
did Adam name the character Max Kessler because
no,
he was aware?
He had
or is
no
it
idea.
It's sheer coincidence?
Yes, and this guy is pretty young. And
That is effing creepy.
Yes.
But awesome.
Well, you know, the world works in really weird ways. So, yeah, we'll get that up at kellymano.com. We might try to sneak in another show this week. We'll see. I was gonna try to do another one, but Rocky's got a baseball game that I want to get to. So, anyway, as always, if you like the show, share the show. We love you for listening. You can find everything you need at www.kellymano.com. And if you ever want to email us, just heykelly@kellymano.com. Don't forget to join our Facebook chat group. We have a lot of fun in there.
Indeed.
Until we see you next week or later this week, be good, have fun, stay sassy, classy, and a bit smart-assy, and hoss anything for the boys.
Stop peeing in your shoes and go back to sleep.
Stop drinking. We'll talk to you soon. See ya!
See ya!
Thank you very much.